What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show.
You're listening to Footy Prime, the podcast, with Danny Dicchio, Craig Forrest, and James Sharman. Today, we welcome Halifax Wanderer head coach and former Team Canada coach, Stephen Hart. For Dan Wong and myself, Jeff Cole, let's get this party started.
Thank you, JC. And yes, welcome once again to Footy Prime. Back after a week off, where we just rested and got our pipes to where they should be. And then ruined it the last couple of days with some good old-fashioned day drinking. Friday, Deitch and Wonga and JC, and then JC and Wonga, Craig and I yesterday.
Yeah, there's a couple of regulars.
It was funny, actually. So we're sitting at this table yesterday, having some beers, and we're just, you know, the usual shooting the shit. And I'm making notes on my phone for the podcast today. Right, so, you know, have, you know, obviously Stephen's coming on the show today. We've got some Champions League talk later on. You know, Sancho maybe to United, and then I wrote down beers, westerns, Blazing Saddles, High Noon, Young Guns, and then I wrote down a spite kill, but I don't remember why I wrote these things.
A spite was, we're going to ask these guys at some point, who would they have loved to spite, who they either played with or got coached by.
Was that what it was?
Yeah, and we were getting low. What would you do, and what would that spite be?
Right, okay. So it could be an individual, could be a team, could be a community.
Yes, all of the above.
So now you know. Now I know.
There you go.
I know, yeah. I wrote it down.
That was four beers in, though. I think it was four beers in.
Yeah. Hold on, what came out as the best country in Western?
See, for me, okay, so we were at first discussing the two Young Guns, one and two. Both great movies. I think Dan decided Young Guns 2.
Young Guns 2, Young Guns. Maybe a better movie.
However, I went way back to High Noon. Gary Cooper, Henry Fonda, one of the great, the greatest Western of all time. And the song that they sung, Do Not Forsake Me, Oh My Darling. I'm going back like to the 1940s here. Oh, wow. You've got to watch it, Deitch. It's fantastic.
I like Western.
What's your favorite?
Blazing Saddles. Blazing Saddles is my favorite.
Does that count as a Western?
Yeah, it's a comedy Western.
Oh, for sure.
It's a great movie. Yeah, we'll ask Stephen Hart about his favorite Westerns. Right now he's stuck at Out East, as he generally is, as head coach of Halifax Wanderers in the CPL. Yes, the CPL is going to kick off this Thursday. Finally, they're in the bubble. It's going to be, I think, a really fun couple of months, at least for us fans. I'm not sure for those involved and stuck in the bubble right now. Stephen, welcome to Footy Prime. And I'm sure when you signed up to the CPL and a year or so ago, you thought there'd be some challenges. It'd be a new journey, a real build, but you never in a million years thought you'd be stuck in a bubble.
No, I didn't, you know. I really didn't.
So, Stephen, I understand you guys got there yesterday. Things are moving along, hopefully, for you and in the right direction. But I know that you personally and the team are struggling with a lot of injuries and a goalkeeper crisis at the moment. That how is that going to be resolved in your eyes?
Well, we're working on it. I think my goalkeeper, he's going to be fine. But we might have to enter, you know, a couple of games without him at the moment. But we have to try and get the situation resolved, and the league and ourselves are plugging away at it, trying to come to some sort of agreement.
It's interesting as well, because I don't like to compare MLS and the CPL, but the MLS have got a rule in place where there is actually a league goalkeeper. There's two league goalkeepers that train with a club in their area. So say if you're from Texas, you train with either Houston or Dallas. And when this kind of situation happens, like what Steven's having with Halifax now, these league pool goalkeepers are emergency loan keepers to go to a club that haven't got a backup keeper or third choice keeper, just to fill the bench, so that when this situation arises, all clubs are covered. And I think this is maybe something the league needs to look at. I know it's still in its early days, but especially when you're going into a bubble and there's quarantining going on, there should be at least one or two emergency keepers down there just to help out, just to train.
I wonder if David Ayers, the Zamboni driver's around, available somewhere.
That's right. Yes, you need him.
Danny, they actually have that, you know. They actually have something like that. No, but they just have to get around some quarantine rulings. And, you know, it's a complicated situation, as you all can appreciate. Nobody's been here before. And, you know, everybody is just a little bit cautious. I'm sure we get it resolved.
If there was, a 52-year-old former national team goalkeeper sitting around and doing nothing but playing golf and drinking beers during the day here in Ontario, would you consider signing him if he was available and could quarantine in time?
He was doing that when he was 28.
You're not wrong.
So, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I come cheap these days, though.
Yeah, well, you would have to for here.
Yeah, right. Hey, Stephen, explain to us, what exactly does this bubble look like for the all the teams in PEI at the moment?
Well, at the moment, you know, it's really, really cautious. Everything is really cautious. You're more or less confined to your own little group on the floors. No mingling at all with the other teams, and all, you know, mask in every single public area. You have to sort of wait till your food's served before you could enter rooms that are designated for you. And those rooms are largely recreation, weight training, everything, just for you. But at the moment, you know, as you arrived, everybody got tested. We're waiting for those testing results. I believe there's a second test to follow in a couple of days, and then you'll need those results. And then, depending on that, I'm sort of hoping that things might become a little more relaxed, because as it stands now, you're really confined to your rooms and going into that sort of recreation room, team room.
Have you had to reinforce the rules with your players? I mean, obviously they know what's at stake here, but we've seen other leagues, players sneaking off and, you know, issues resulting from that. Have you had that sit down with your guys and saying, listen, this is no joke, this is serious?
I mean, what we did was we had a meeting with our players long before we mentored this. We said, look, this is what you're going to be into, you're going into. This is what you're signing up for. You know, let us know if you're uncomfortable. Obviously, they're not going to let me know if they're climbing out on bed sheets. But, they sort of knew what they were getting into. And, you know, they come across as some very, very mature young men. But it's only been day one, so we'll see.
Long time to go. Also, Stephen, there's some people that have said that Halifax have the unfair advantage because they've only had to travel by a ferry across the PEI. And they have a coach as well that is basically from the islands, although it be the Caribbean islands. But they've said that the travel has been less for you guys, and it's totally ludicrous in my opinion, but... How was the travel yesterday? Did everyone arrive safely, all the teams? The setup was good, as what Craig is saying. It looks pretty professional. I've seen a couple of Instagram live from ex-players from TFC and other guys, and they said it's been pretty professional so far.
Yeah, it has been. I mean, you know, I really don't envy Pacific and that up and down that they had to do. But, I mean, let's be realistic. If it was the league... If it was the league, and I know you would not be stopping. I mean, you might make one stop and then have to come over to play Halifax, but you'd have been coming in the night before or the day before. You've got 7 days here, you know, so which is a luxury we don't have. And it is it was a charter. So I think it's enough time to recover. But if some people see it as an advantage for us, we'll see.
Hey, Stephen, a lot of people maybe not know that you're one of the most vastly experienced coaches we've ever had in Canada. Not only have you coached through the systems here and with our full national team, but also Trinidad and Tobago, where you come from originally. What are the differences between the two national teams that you coached and the nuances between the two? Because there certainly must be some.
Well, that's a great question. I had the national team of Canada on what, three different occasions, twice on the interim, actually three times on the interim, and then I eventually got the job. And the players, I had a really good understanding of the players. I mean, I was Frank's assistant. I was with Dale. So I had a good understanding of the players. And, you know, we had a very good working relationship. You know, then when I went to Trinidad and Tobago, everything was new to me. I took a lot of stick because, you know, they said this Canadian's coming to coach. I was not seen as from Trinidad and Tobago until some of the veteran players that represented the country that had played with me or against me in the league started, you know, saying, I don't understand what you people are talking about. And then, of course, it just was about learning the qualities of the players. But in both groups, the players were excellent. I had no problems with the players outside of some of the usual problems you have, you know, with player behavior and all that. I mean, that's normal. The real problems was dealing with the administration and the sort of backroom professionalism or lack of it that was required to make a national program run the way it should run.
Yeah, politics in Canadian football, eh? Who knew? Who knew? You had, like you mentioned, there's some pretty decent teams with Canada. As football fans, we love new shiny things, though. And when you look at the current squad, Alphonso Davies, Jonathan David, you know, there's a lot of hope around this current Canadian team. Is it well-placed, do you think? Or is it just a case of, wow, another generation of hope that will end in disappointment?
No, I'm excited to see what this team will do. I think the team has more depth and variety in what could possibly be done, especially on the offensive side of the game. You know, when I had the team and we were in the qualification campaign, the early part of the campaign, we were flying. We were doing really, really well. And we ended up having a couple of injuries. Ali Gerber was out. Josh Simpson, Atiba had some knee surgery, et cetera, et cetera. We started to pick up some injuries, and we just didn't have the sort of players that were ready to come in and take, you know, just sort of take over and accept the responsibility. But I think this team, even though it's young, they have a lot of potential to tweak the offense, to give different sort of looks. And if they get their best defending line right, I'm excited to see what this team can do.
Yeah, I mean, is it fair to say, I mean, in hindsight, it's obviously 2020, but is it fair to say that this national team from an attacking standpoint is the best that we've ever seen? Although we've seen individuals in the past, Catliff and Mitchell and guys like that could score the odd goal in very important moments. Alex Bunbury had some good years in Portugal as well. But I don't think, Stephen, in my opinion, that I've been this excited about an attacking force before, although personally, I think defensively, where we've always sort of hung our hat on being quite strong, maybe might be our weakness at the moment.
Yeah, you know, I was really interested to watch a U.S. game because, in my opinion, was the only real test that they came up in the whole sort of competition, They certainly gave a good account of themselves against the U.S. in the game at home, and then you know your eyebrows sort of went up when they went down to when they went down to Florida. And then you thought to yourself, you know, you put that and you put the Haiti game into perspective. You start thinking, maybe some experience would be needed, you know, to slow things down when you're on top and recognize, listen, you know, we have to manage the game a little bit better. But certainly, I'm very excited to see this group.
Speaking of experience, Atiba Hutchison, in his mid-30s, is still doing really well in Turkey. Could he play a major role in that position? Because we know how calm he is on the ball. And up until Alfonso, I'd say he's probably the most technical player we've ever had.
Yeah, I mean, I have nothing but good things to say about that guy. His brain works overtime. His legs are still good. I watch him every chance I can get. I don't think you can throw away that sort of experience. Now, Atiba, I remember once I wanted to give him the armband, and he refused it. He just said, you know, he didn't want that sort of responsibility, but he certainly takes a leadership role when he plays. And I think that's very, very, very important.
Yeah, still, in my mind, the most underrated Canadian athlete, maybe of all time. Underappreciated, that's for sure.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, he should be a household name in Canada. Very underappreciated. One of the greatest players we've ever had, for sure, and virtually gets no exposure here whatsoever. And he, actually, speaking of that, Stephen, I mean, from a standpoint of, like, you know, fans that love the game, they're going to get these platforms and going to watch football because they love it. They're willing to spend some money on it. But as far as getting exposure to individuals, even like Alfonso, to the average sports player or a youth player that should be exposed to them, they're not. And this is a problem in the States as well, because even in the Champions League, Pulisic is playing, and even Grant Wall, who we had on a couple weeks ago, was saying that it's unfortunate that many people are not being able to expose to one of the greatest Americans at this moment. Do you see that being a problem?
It's a huge problem. And I just don't get it in this day of global communication and marketing. I just can't figure it out. I mean, I remember when I went to Eindhoven and Tony Fonseca and myself went to meet with Atiba, and he's on a massive billboard in Eindhoven, and everybody, and the Dutch don't praise you very easily. We know that. You had everybody we spoke to was only had praise for him, you know, and Pulisic for me is a very special footballer. And I am really surprised that they don't get the exposure in their home countries that they deserve.
Yeah, it seems that the game is almost contracted in the last couple of years because the mainstream media isn't covering football like it was. But at the same time, I think media is changing as well. And these streaming services, from the One Soccer to the Zones, they are the future in many ways. So maybe there will be an explosion in a couple of years when they find their footing. But it's frustrating for sure. Back to your current team, Stephen. According to CPL Tracker on the website, I think you've retained just 7 players from last season. It seems like almost like a new club. How's the challenges to build in this club compared to before year one?
Well, you know, in year one, we had all these restrictions on where we could take players from. You know, so Ontario, they, you know, really and truly, they got the first choice of the players they wanted, and then you could have what they don't want, and BC had BC, and et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it was a little bit complicated. And then, you know, you had to put in the names that you want, and there would be a draft, and the players that I wanted to bring in decided, let me wait and see what this CPL thing's all about before I leave my position in wherever they were in Europe or whatever. So, you know, it was a real hit and miss for teams like Halifax and the teams that were sort of now coming, Pacific and all of that. So this year I decided you know, that, look, we have a little more flexibility in the players we can bring in. This is the type of players that I like. And let's see if we could get those players in and really start. This is really the starting point, if you understand what I mean. Unfortunately, COVID has come in. So now, you know, you're sort of looking at this island tournament as an extended preseason for 2021. At least that's how I'm looking at it.
Stephen, one player I really like that you've got within your squad is Big Ibra. He came to TFC a couple of seasons ago in a showcase, a young boy. I think he's from Guinea originally, but he was at school in PEI, Ibrahim Sano. I'm really interested to see how he performs this year because he's got a great profile. He was a great kid. I loved working with him for the 10 days that he was with us. And I'm just really interested to see if he can pop some goals in for you because, as I said, he's a big, strong boy. He knows where the goal is as well. And I really hope, not only personally for him, that he can score some goals, but for yourself as well, because I think that's what was lacking a little bit last year, having that potent goal scorer.
Yeah, I think last year we lacked. I mean, and not so much the goal scorer as the final pass, you know. The goals that Akeem scored, he was tireless, you know, but it wasn't a situation where, you know, they were laid on a platter for him. But yeah, Ibra is certainly the unknown. I myself very interested to see how he does.
Stephen, before we let you go, just I'd like to hear your point of view on, you know, development in Canada. We have the MLS teams. We now have CPL, which is obviously going to be great for players to develop. We've already seen some players leave, so you got to think it's been beneficial for them. But a lot of the conversation in hockey is the expense of it. Football seems to be getting that way as well. And for the people that are less fortunate, don't have the money to put their kids in football or certainly put them in academies or even the MLS academies where it costs money, yeah. How do we get around that in this country? Because we're missing out on a lot of great athletes if they can afford it.
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? I think not just for us, but for North America in general. I do believe we're missing out on a lot of players. I mean, I've spoken to Paul Stalteri and Atiba and Ian Hume and really and truly, if they had to pay the kind of money that, you know, that is being asked now, they would not have been in football. And it is something I think that we have to get the footballing minds together to try and solve this problem somehow or the other. You know, it's becoming a situation where I think we are missing out on a lot of talented players that really and truly cannot afford to be in the sport.
It's interesting as well, like just carrying on from what Steven's saying there, that Ibrahimovic was in Los Angeles for the last 2 years, and his quote coming out of just living in Los Angeles was he could not believe how much it was for his son to be involved with a select soccer football program. He said what he paid or what a young child would play in Sweden or England or Trinidad, wherever it is, for his career as a young player would be for 1 year in America. So he was paying up to like $4,500-$5,000 for his son to play in a select program in Los Angeles. Okay, that's Los Angeles. But I think, as we said, it's North America where we're really missing the boat on not only kids that can't afford it, but kids that maybe not interested in football at first, but just getting them involved and trying to get them in the game prior to them having to pay a ludicrous amount of money or stupid money just to see if they like it, and then you can work with that. It might be some natural talent they have, speed, strength, aggression to be a defender. It could be agility to be a goalkeeper, wherever it is. But we're missing out on a huge amount of potential players at a young, young age that just veer off into a different career or different sport or don't play sport at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's a massive issue, and I know the clubs are aware of it. But, I mean, in your case, Deitch, if you just driving home today, see some kid in the park who's got some incredible skills, and you think, this kid's special. My God, look at this kid. Turns out the kid has no money. He comes from an impoverished background. He cannot afford to join TFC Academy. Are there ways for him to still get in there?
Well, first of all, TFC Academy is free. You don't pay to play at TFC Academy, but that's not saying we're the highest academy or the best academy. It's more to do with the local clubs now becoming, or not becoming, they're a business. They're not a football club. They're not a club where players can develop. And I understand clubs have to bring in certain money to pay staff and stuff like that. But I remember when I was a youngster, and we're talking about years ago, you basically paid for your uniform, your kit, your bag, and the subscription for the referees for the year. And it was literally £100 for that year. And we'd have a couple of tournaments involved as well. I just, I don't see how it can cost so much for your young player. And that's not only in football, that's in hockey as well, and even basketball, which my younger guy's playing, my little girl's playing as well. It's pretty expensive for a kid to play sport and be active and stay in an active lifestyle as well. We're not talking about all kids are going to be professional players, but to stay active and healthy.
Yeah, I think, Danny, you know, if we could get some sort of subsidy on facilities, because let's face it, it's about 5 months of the year. There's a very expensive facility you're going to have to get because of winter. Right. So you need some sort of subsidy on all of these income generated pitches that are coming up all over the place. And maybe five-a-side pitches all over inner city of Toronto, where you know, kids could just go and play, and then the scouts could go and look for the natural talent and bring them in. Something has to give at some point. So I think start by dropping the cost or subsidizing the cost of these facilities, and that's a start point.
Yes, amazing, Stephen. Before we let you go, I mean, you and I had numerous interviews back in the day talking about the challenges to Canadian football players. And here we are now in 2020 talking about the challenges to Canadian football players. So, yeah, it's a work in progress, put it that way. But listen, strange times, Stephen. Good luck in the bubble. I look forward to the games. We're really happy that you're back in Canadian football, that's for sure. And thanks for joining
Thank
us.
You.
Thanks, Stephen.
Thanks, Stephen. Good talking really to appreciate you. It, buddy.
Thanks, Stephen guys. Hart. Have a good one.
Will do. Stephen Hart, HFX Wanderers.
Take care.
Kicking All off right. in a week or so in the Island Games. And it's interesting what Stephen says there about, you know, this tournament, yeah, it's great and all. It's not ideal, but this is pre-season for next season, almost. Is the biggest job for these coaches in the CPL, is it to convince their fan bases that building a strong foundation and developing is actually more important in these early years than a trophy for some of these clubs? You know, the Cavaliers of the day, you know, and the Forgers come from a foundation to begin with, right? They're kind of ahead of the grade there. But for teams like HFX and other ones, it's a real build, and you have to get the foundation right before you even think about winning stuff.
Yes, but you're always going to have the challenges, certainly in the offseason. We've seen, even with this pandemic, that the better players every year will also leave. But that's fine. In my books, I mean, some people say, well, how do you develop the league? Well, the league is a development league.
That's credibility when the Tristan Borges of the world leave, right?
Yeah. I mean, for obviously to love watching them play as part of the league, but if you see players, you know, drift over to Europe and get a second chance through this league, we saw it in the old Canadian League, you know, for qualifying for 80s and 90s, how beneficial that was to have players playing on a regular basis, even at any level.
Yeah. I think the key thing as well is that there's still not enough clubs here in Canada for players of all ages to reach the professional level. So having the CPL now, okay, we have Toronto, we have Montreal, we have Vancouver. But now with the inclusion of the CPL, we have another 8 to 9 teams that players can either progress to out of school, university for one, or they've been released by the academy or professional free teams that we just spoke about, because it's not going to happen for them at that level. But they can still pursue a professional career at a CPL club now. And as Craig just said as well, returning players from Europe. So it gives them another foot to try and get to where they've worked so hard to get to. And you're going to face certain resilience. You're going to face adversity throughout your career. But to come home, which a lot of these players are doing, and play for a Canadian team in the early stages of its years, where we hope it's going to go on for a long amount of time. They're setting up the structure right. The foundations are being put in place. They're starting to set up their reserves and youths, which is really good as well. And that's the process. If you can do that by winning, even better. But you're right, Shams. It's a slow process that I think the fans have bought into. They're just happy that they've got a local team they can support now and call their local team, as well as having a European team of their choice or a South American team, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But they have a local community team now that they can travel an hour, 2 hours, 10 minutes down the road to support, which I think is fantastic.
That's just, I mean, that happens all over Europe. A lot of people, you know, everybody has a club, local club within a stone's throw away.
Yeah.
And they will support them as well as the Arsenals and the,
of course.
Well, even there's no reason why a TFC fan can't also support York 9.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, there's loads
there's
of
no
them.
Reason. They're not going to compete.
Of them.
Okay, Canadian Championship, there's a good chance they'll meet at some point. Then you've got a dilemma.
Yeah.
But there's no reason they're different,
that's great.
Different levels.
I love that.
Could
the fact
imagine?
That they're
yeah.
playing against
superb
MLS teams and played very well against them.
Well, we
by
saw.
The way, right?
Yeah, we saw.
And the coaches are competitive. We know several of them in the league. They, you know, including Steven, they all want to win. Of course they do.
You know, I think also we're seeing the opportunity to certain players. We see Mo Babouli get signing up this past week. Mm-hmm. You know, without the CPL, Mo's career could have been done.
Yeah.
Right? He's
he was
playing
play indoor,
Metro. Yeah, well, we'll talk about the Metro Stars some other time, maybe, Greg.
No, we won't.
But regardless, you know, opportunity presents itself, right? You know, you guys had Mo at TFC, had some moments, didn't he? There's definitely a skill set there, a talent base. Hasn't worked out for him.
How old is he now?
27, maybe, I want to say.
Yeah.
He's got to be towards his late 20s now, right? Mid to late 20s?
Yeah.
Probably.
He'd be finished without it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that, you know, you're going to see these guys, maybe a second chance for a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
Which
that's
is
what I'm saying. That platform for guys that face a little bit of adversity, been out of the game or not had a club for 3 months, 6 months, a year. But now having this league in place is, okay, I might not be able to get into my local club, but I might get a chance at Valor or Cavalry or Pacific or Halifax, wherever it's at. You're going to be playing professional football,
which
is what you've trained for, which is what your dream is to be. And if you do well at this level, maybe you get a chance, like we've seen with a couple of players, in getting noted for the national team, where two or three CPL players got involved with the national team set up last year. So there's all kinds of avenues that this can really be a platform for these players to perform.
All pluses.
Yep, and kicks off, as I mentioned, this Thursday, Forge Cavalry.
Mm-hmm.
Replay of the year.
Good game.
Final, of course. Great game, yeah. So catch that on One Soccer. From the CPL to the Italian Serie A. So Juventus win again, obviously, then their ninth championship.
Stumbled
over
the finishing line.
Yeah, for sure. Then they blow it in the Champions League, and poor old Sarri, Coach Sarri, most disrespected coach in world football, feels the brunt of it and gets canned a year after being canned from Chelsea.
He's doing all right for himself. Back to three packs a day.
Yeah.
Well, he was a bank manager prior to becoming a professional.
Yeah, quite recently in football terms.
So he's going to need that at the
amazing.
Moment.
Yeah, no kidding. But in comes Andrea Pirlo with zero experience as a coach, and people are comparing him to the Lampards and the Artetas and the Inzaghis and Gattusos, but they all kind of earn their stripes a little bit right before getting a big opportunity. They, you know, be it at age grade football. I mean, in fairness, Pirlo did sign 10 days ago with the under-23s at Juventus.
Oh, so he's had 10 days. He's had 10
you know,
days.
With the kids, so yeah. Fair enough. But I mean, I don't know. What
on
do you
a
think
Zoom of meeting.
I mean, you want to see him succeed, right? One of the most sophisticated savants of football in recent years. Just wonderful player. But doesn't mean he'll be a great manager. But someone like yourself, Deej, who's earned his stripes, you know, for years in football, in the coaching ranks, and you see a guy like Pirlo just walk into the Juventus chair. I mean, what does it make you feel?
I have no resentment towards him at all. Again, classy player, legend of a player in Italy and for the national team. Had a little stunt, a little espresso at New York City FC for a year or so with a cigar on. I'm very worried. I thought Juventus were going for the Champions League. They've basically tied up the last 9 Serie A titles because there's been no one to really compete with them. But now teams are starting to bubble up nicely. Lazio took them close this year. Inter are doing very well with Conte. Milan is starting to bubble up as well. And then you have Atalanta, who are still in the Champions League. So to bring in Sarri, who was basically told, we want to win the Champions League. He was apparently told before yesterday's game, sorry, Friday's game, that if you do not win this game, you're out. So he knew that game was his last one if they lost it. But it's just bizarre to me that you're giving it to Pirlo now, who obviously has the respect of the locker room, very similar to Zidane at Real Madrid, who had a little stint with the U23s but didn't really have the experience of coaching a first team. And then I had the argument with my buddy the other day. Like, he said, what are you really teaching those players at a high level team? I said, well, there's tactics and obviously formations that you have to adhere to. He says, yeah, but these guys have heard tactics and formations all their life. When you're putting a £70 million player on the field, yes, there's certain rules and certain stats that you're telling them or tactics, but they're playing the game to their caliber.
You're not improving Ronaldo, for example.
You're not improving Ronaldo. You're going to be telling Dybala certain stuff to what to do. And maybe that's their ideology around it, and saying, look, we need someone to control the locker room because it's gone a little bit messy under Sarri. There was a rift between him and Ronaldo. He wasn't, no chance, a Ronaldo manager. So maybe they brought in Pirlo.
That was it? That was a respect thing right out of the gates? Because they will respect him right out of the gates. I mean,
I'm still questioning it. Still questioning it myself, Craig. I hope he really does well. I really do, because he's a fantastic player and legend for Italy, but I've got my doubts about this big time.
But you say you can't improve £70 million players, and I get that. Obviously, Ronaldo's kind of a bit of a different story entirely, but if he can raise the guys that are on that team only worth 15 or 20 million, right, and improve them, then the team improves. Look at Klopp at Liverpool, right? Who can say that Jordan Henderson, a really good player, didn't become a great player under him? Sané became better under Jurgen Klopp. There is a way, surely, to improve players, be it confidence, the way you talk to them.
Fullbacks as well.
The fullbacks, yeah, precisely, right? So I know what you're saying as far as you should have the finished product when you have a team full of world-class footballers, but there is a little bit of wiggle room, isn't there, to improve them still?
100%, you have to. That's your part of the head coach.
Yeah.
But Klopp is a totally different machine than a Pirlo or a Lampard. These guys are very successful players in their playing career, like a Steven Gerrard, like an Alan Shearer, but now moving into coaching so soon after not like being an understudy or having an experience within. I can only talk about my own experience. Going as an assistant coach with Dasso in the Toronto FC team compared to looking at the game as a player are miles apart. The preparation, the understanding of how you're trying to
it's
speak
on you.
To it's on you as well. Whereas a player, you're surrounded with 10 other guys or
bitching
12
about
other guys.
Everything, about the coach not doing this.
So,
coach.
And a parallel, though, isn't he on like hiding to nothing? Because he has to win the Champions League now. Right? He has to. That's why he's been brought in. That's why they've fired every other manager so far. Because they haven't managed to win the Champions
League. That is my question of why have they given it to Pirlo?
And why would he take it? He's been offered jobs. He said he's offered jobs in England and other Serie A clubs. I know it's hard to say no to Juventus.
I think that's it. It's so hard.
If you really sit down and look in the mirror and say, is this really the right choice for me right now? You know, I could ruin my career by failing at Juve within 6 months. Or
it's Chelsea as well with Lampard. Yeah.
But you could also fail at any other club too, right?
Yes, you can. You know. But the spotlight's not on you like it would be at Juve, for example.
No, but either way, the spotlight's on. But Pirlo's used to the spotlight. That's not going to be a problem, but either way, you could fail anywhere.
And that's why I really like what Pep has done, because Pep was the Barca B coach for a number of years, done the groundwork there, understood how he wanted his team to play. Okay, it was in the Barca style, which is very similar to how he was developed as a coach anyway. But he can't value those 2 years or whatever it was that he did with Barca B enough, because it set him up for eventually taking over the first team, knowing some of the younger players that he worked with the B setup, but also understanding the dynamics of what's going on here. We're not talking about just what goes on the pitch. We're talking about strength and conditioning, medical, admin, dealing with directors. You don't have that as a player.
Right, so you, like you said, you learned it, you know, as assistant coach to Dazzo, right? And he's like, wow, my God, this is different to play.
There's a whole lot
of shit. He's going to go through the exact same thing as the head coach at Juventus, one of the most storied clubs in world sport, with everyone looking at him and everyone saying, your goal this season is to win not just Serie A. You do that, it's been 9 years straight. Easy, right? And the Champions League. Anything less than that, and it's a failure. My God.
Well, I think
pressure,
it's
isn't it?
A lot of pressure. I think it'll be important for him who he brings into his staff, too. You know, who the guys are, and, you know, dealing with coaching and setting up. And
I wonder if he brings in a physio or a trainer that does warm-ups. Because do you not remember Pirlo's quote in his book about warm-ups?
No.
He said, I hated doing warm-ups. It was the biggest waste of time in my career. It's basically the trainer, the physio's trainer's chance to masturbate and just have an orgasm because he's making 15 guys, 20 guys run around doing pointless exercises for 10 minutes before a game.
Your flavor is, man. If that gets you off, then good for you. You know?
Yeah, I needed a warm up.
Need one right now, actually.
Not that kind of warm up, Greg.
He's already masturbated, so he's ready to go.
Would just stand in the field and keep the ball up, right?
A little bit of music.
A little bit of music.
Did you need it, Craig? Did you need it? Did you get?
Well, it's different for goalkeepers too.
Yeah, but you're still warming up. Most guys warm up, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're trying to get your
was it more for your head or for your body?
No, just depth perception, crosses, lights.
Yeah,
keepers. Some stadiums too. You don't realize when the ball goes up, depending on where their floodlights are, the ball gets lost in them. Sellers Park is a classic. Yeah. They've got those
low lights,
and dip. It goes the whole way along. So it doesn't matter where the ball comes up from that particular side, it's caught up in the lights.
I love it when you see a keeper wear a ball cap.
They're useless.
You're not allowed to no more.
You're not allowed? Why?
Nope. You're not allowed
it's
to
dangerous.
Wear a cap.
What, Peaky Blinders? You got a blade in there?
There was something happened in the championship this year where a keeper was trying to wear a cap. And I'm not too sure whether it was because it wasn't part of the uniform or it was a sponsor on a cap that the referee didn't allow him to wear.
I don't think you can't wear a cap. I think if you have a big sponsor on it.
Paddy Power.
Yeah, exactly. I remember in the Gold Cup, I had the Sandico gloves that had quite a big Sandico on the back of the gloves.
They weren't allowed to.
It had to be, I think it was like a 3/4 inch font at the most, and so long, and so I just had to use a felt and blacken out all the Sandico.
We have to do that with our Amsterdam beer. We need to get a bigger logo across Craig's midsection here.
Yeah.
Across my lunch kit.
Easy, Dan. Easy.
It's a wonderful sight.
It's right between my legs.
It's a wonderful sight on a Sunday morning. Who doesn't want to wake up beside that?
This seems like a football world transcend.
I don't like
Craig's lunch kit transcends the podcast.
It really does. That's the new podcast.
Wake up in the morning. I could see
Craig's lunch kit.
Wake up in the morning. There's a mirror right there from the sliding doors, and I have to look at myself as something else.
It's not good, is it? Yeah, they didn't put mirrors in your bedroom or anywhere in the house.
I got to open up.
Scare yourself walking down the stairs.
Oh, God.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Casper the ghost.
Yeah, I like this mask. This mask thing is great.
Man, this
I like a million.
Self-loathing on this show, isn't there?
Did you see that, talking about masks, did you see the guys in, I think it was in Dollarama or somewhere, that were walking in with full Halloween masks? And the manager stopped him and said, you can't wear that mask. And he's like, but it's a mask.
The wrong mask.
It's the wrong mask. He's like, well, what do you want me? Do you want to put like a Star Wars mask or what? He said, no, you have to wear a mask covering your mouth and nose.
And now, were they being just smart asses or do they just not
get
it?
Yeah, they were being smart asses.
Because, I mean, a lot of people in Dollarama just don't get it. And I'm there all the time because I've got a 9-year-old daughter, and crafts are cheap and they'll kill off an hour of an afternoon. So I'm always in Dollarama. And a lot of people there would think that the Halloween mask would work.
Yeah, Amsterdam Beer right. and Dollarama, new sponsors.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, boy. Oh, God. Before we – other news stories like making the rounds. David Silva's last game at the Etihad.
Ooh, can't believe it. Time
Man,
flies.
Well, diminutive, but what a player.
Yeah.
One of the greatest of the league scene, isn't he?
Yeah, and humble. Yeah. Like one of the greatest players. And I think actually it was Nick Dasovich was talking about that just one of the greatest players and how humble he is and everything that he's achieved.
Yep.
Nice to see.
Very quiet kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's
he's been there for how long?
He's been there 10 years.
10 years.
Yeah. I was looking the other day on who signed him, and it was, I think it was Roberto Mancini and right. him having a picture. But like a fantastic signing servant for Man City. I think he really progressed them into a different way of playing, especially when Pep came in as well. He was that guy that City had a lot of very, very good playmakers over the years. Remember King Clarzy as well, who was a really nice player. But this guy took it onto a new level. And the club also loved him. They helped him out a lot. Remember, he had those troubles with his young child that was born. I think it was 2 years ago now. He had to take a lot of time off. And Pep gave him that time off. The club supported him. So he knows that the club really helped him out in a sticky situation, but what a fantastic servant to Man City and the championships. And if he could go out with a bang, I think it would be the perfect send-off, winning the Champions League.
Absolutely,
with Man City.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they got a decent next matchup, yeah. Of course, but
it's not easy.
Nothing is easy. But yeah, Champions League one-offs coming up this week. I love that. We were talking before the show today how much we enjoy that. Two-legged, I understand why they do it, you know, but my God, a knockout and a neutral venue, pretty special.
Amazing. Really, really good.
So let me ask you, so if you're does that favor a better team or an underdog? You know, any team can win on any given day. Over two legs, generally speaking, you think the better team is going to have more chance to prevail. But, you know, if you're a Lyon, have you got a better chance in a one-off?
That's a good question. Yeah, I would think so.
So they're happier. Than
although you look at, you know, some of the teams like Bayern Munich or is it Germany that came back, Bundesliga, they didn't struggle at all.
No.
Bayern Munich.
Home, didn't miss a step.
Away. Yeah.
Put Chelsea to the sword. I think it depends on the team as well and how dominant they are at home. Like if you're I wouldn't say smaller team, but like a Lyon or Leipzig who are still in the Champions League where they love playing at home in front of their own fans, bringing a big team to kind of bunker in and counter against them. Are you going to be able to do that in a neutral stadium? If you're a good team, you can play at any field against any opponent. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
That Bayern-Barca match is going to be something special.
Oh, cracker. That first half the other day was a great game. I rewatched it.
Barca or Bayern?
Barca versus... oh, my God. No. Yeah, Barca versus Napoli.
Napoli, yeah.
Messi. Really good off.
Messi's goal was pretty decent, wasn't it?
Taking liberties again, little Lionel.
You think he's leaving? Is he staying? A lot of... obviously, he's not happy with the brass there, and a lot of, you know, notable commentators are saying how that club is almost wasting his best years because they haven't won the Champions League since he was 27 years of age. Bit of a stretch, really. they're half decent. They've been pretty good.
Tottenham haven't won a trophy since when?
Ever, I think, is the answer.
I think it depends, basically, at Barca, if they change the coach. Again? There's a lot of turmoil within the locker room towards his style of play and stuff. Do they bring in a Pirlo, ex-legend of Barca, to come in and settle the changing room? And they've got a huge influx of young, talented players coming through at Barca.
They always do, don't they?
Yeah, like, I mean, their academy is top, but they've also got, like, these guys have started to develop into... You can talk about players with potential that are going to be hopefully reaching your first team in 2 or 3 years' time. These guys have been those guys for like 2 or 3 years now. Fatty is another guy who's done really well from that need to come in now and be starters.
So is this the new golden generation?
I think so. There's like five or six of them, Shams, that are very, very talented
players. Just bring in the... Who's Barcelona B coach now? Puyol. Do you think like Poch, you know, is out there, you know, and people are saying he should have gone to Juventus, they couldn't afford him. Is he a guy that would work at a team like Barcelona, do you think?
No, because he hates them.
Espanyol, I know.
Yes.
But, okay, removing that. He said he'd never coach Barca. Did he say that? Okay, yeah. Okay, but just forget. Okay.
But I think if it's put to him. But
that type of coach, you know, a proven 10 coach.
10 million reasons why.
Because yeah. they don't often go and get, in recent years, a big name coach. Maybe someone that's done well in La Liga, right? But if they go out and get a Pochettino, who's apparently a world-class coach, would that work in that setup, the way he plays the game?
I'm not sure. I'm really not sure. I'd like to see it because I think Poch is a great coach. And
yeah, but what he said about that club, do you think he's, you know...
He said he's got hatred towards them.
Yeah.
He said he would coach
but
Real Madrid.
Leo Messi.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's tough to say no. I guess he's done it all.
It's when the wife taps you on the shoulder and says, listen, money's running low a little bit at the moment.
Yeah, how much?
I don't think that's going to happen for a while.
No, he's still getting paid up by Spurs.
Exactly.
But I don't know. I really don't know what's going to happen at Barca, but I do know they have a very talented crop coming through that need to be guided in the right direction, with Messi being the front runner of that group.
Still. Have you seen the documentary series on Netflix?
Barca. Yes.
It's good, isn't it?
Very good.
It kind of warms up. It starts kind of slow, I thought, but it really gets really well worth to watch. And you see the inner workings and who the dominant personalities are. And Messi's Messi, but he hasn't got much to him outside of football.
He's Suarez's boy,
best mates, right? But Suarez is a big personality, which isn't a big surprise. But obviously, Piqué's massive. Busquets is so quiet, it seems, but still so respected in that room. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
And you know, they go through each player basically and their background, where they came from. It's definitely worth watching. One of the good fly in the wall documentaries.
Very good, yeah.
Willian to Arsenal, is that done yet? Is it confirmed? I don't think it's confirmed yet, right? But it's very close. Yeah. He's leaving Chelsea regardless, and maybe going to Arsenal. Is that a mistake by Chelsea to let this guy go, considering that they've made some signings, but they're a very young team?
I should check on that, because I think that deal might be done this morning.
He said it was very, very close. Yeah. The problem now...
They're going to fire the people first and get the money from the employees.
Oh, we should talk about that. That's
the problem with Chelsea, first of all, is that they have a rule in place that they don't like to offer players over 31 longer than 2 years. Similar to what Arsenal did.
Is it 2 years?
I think it's 2 years. They've offered him a 2 year
deal. General rule of thumb, wouldn't you say? I mean...
It can be, but now Arsenal are starting to break their rules because they want to offer Aubameyang, who's 31 now, I think, a 3 year deal.
Mm.
So they've changed their mindset and say, listen, we need to be competitive. So we need to bring in some experienced guys and give them longer contracts on big money. Interestingly, they sacked 55 staff this week as well, and they got a lot of stick about it. They let go of 55 staff.
That was a disgrace.
But they're also saying, well, you have Ozil here on 350 grand a week.
Oh, fuck.
Who's Ozil's picking his nose.
I can't believe that they're picking on them. So let's say Ozil walks out of the Arsenal with 20 million.
Yeah.
Say.
Which he's going to.
The freaking owners were 10 billion. That's 10,000 million.
But it always has to be a scapegoat, Craig.
Yeah, but you know that's the problem with the Premier League, and they don't vet owners well enough. They let anybody buy a club.
Well, they have now with
Russians,
Newcastle.
Not anymore. It's falling through there, right?
Newcastle. Yeah. And then the Newcastle fans are upset because what? They're upset because the Saudi government.
They were so excited
buying their club. Like, seriously,
they're murderers.
Yes.
But they could buy really good players for us.
Yeah,
and now they're pissed off.
Yeah, and they're worried. I know they don't like Mike Ashley, but. He doesn't chop up any freaking journalists.
Well, you don't know that.
Well, I don't know that. That's an allegation.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
No, I'm saying you don't know that Mike Ashley hasn't
done it. Isn't
it's possible, you know?
Yeah, it is possible.
One thing he does chop up is a lot of roast dinners.
Yeah. He doesn't miss many meals.
There's no chopping up there. It's just like, you know, stuffing it down.
As Footy Pride does the fat shaving. Way to go, fellas.
Yeah.
Way to go.
People ask how's it.
Sorry, Dad.
Yeah. Yes, well, my weight loss has been noticed.
You hit the salad bar.
Until this weekend, anyway.
Yeah. But football, isn't it like, I think it's lost its way. like that's why the Germans do it well. They got German ownership. They control it that way. It's about the German system and the national team and all that, and it works really, really well. No, you know, no surprise. And in England, they've basically given it away. I mean, you got American owners for three teams or so, four teams actually now, I think, yep. with Fulham coming up.
Yeah, but you know how it is. I mean, the club, I'm not defending it. I think it's disgusting as well, but Stan Kroenke's personal wealth is so separate from the club that's run as a business, mm-hmm. completely separate to everything else, right? I'm not saying it's right. He could definitely handle, you know, it's just an excuse, let's be honest, to clean house. Thing is, like, it's including a scouting department yeah, too, right, which hasn't been great recently.
No, so. And you know, Ipswich was different, obviously. It was a small club that I was at, small town, not a small club, but... You know, in terms of these size of clubs, yeah, it was. But it's football's about community. It's about the fabric of the area and supporting each other. And these guys don't give two hoots about fucking these guys.
No.
You know, and clubs used to be owned by local guys that had an actual, were part of that. Yeah. Now
we spoke about
lost
it before,
that way.
How the owners and the presidents of back in the day, I think they saw this coming. I think they saw the glitz and glamour of the Sky TV deal coming in, and they thought, we can't keep up with this. We can't keep shelling out money because this is going to a different level now. Mm-hmm. Because the more you shell out, more often than not in the Premier League, the more you're going to lose.
Yeah, but didn't you guys, you know, 93 came around. Deitch, you were still, obviously, Craig, you were in your prime in the Premier League when that turned around. Deitch, you were...
Just coming into the first team,
right?
Yeah.
You were, I imagine, benefited from the Sky deal. Pretty happy when that went through?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was peanuts compared to...
Now.
But your contract pre-Premier
every
League
year,
must have been
every
different.
Year, I think the wages were climbing 15, 20%. Something like that on average. So every contract was getting bigger and every Sky deal was getting bigger.
But was it obvious though when you, I mean, I'm not sure, were you mid-contract when the Sky deal happened? Do you remember that?
Well, the Sky deal was right in they were, that was in place right at 92, right?
Yeah,
right
yeah.
At the start of the Premier League.
Was that in the middle of a contract for you or were you up for a new contract?
That's a good,
money came
good
in?
Question. Good
no,
question.
Contracts were normally, they were normally done at the end of the year, weren't they, Craig? Like you usually ran out. There was never like, middle of the year where your contract would run out.
No, but what I'm saying though, but were you in year one of a 4-year deal or were you
Well, you know what, but even though you walk in and the situation's changed and...
It was more bonuses changed, wasn't it, Craig? Like your win bonuses, qualification bonuses, where you finished in the league, that changed a lot when Sky came
in. Mm-hmm. So my question really is, how rich were you after the Premier League came around compared to before the Premier League? Was it an obvious?
Well, no.
Without giving us specific numbers,
it
was a hell of a lot. But.
No, it wasn't. The difference between wages in the Championship now, Championship and the Premier League, weren't as great as they are now.
Yeah,
it's a,
I'd
it's
say
a
we
golf
we
now.
Just missed out on that curve of
That's me. That's me just in a about. Nutshell. Dollar late, day late, dollar short. Like Shaka when he came to West Ham, when I went there, the Bosman rule wasn't in place.
Oh, it wasn't?
No. And then Shaka came, and it's like the Bosman rule just came in play. He's like, holy shit, I just pocketed $1.5 million and a half quid. I'm like, fucking no, of course you did. Of course you did.
Yeah, but you had all the commercial deals through the CSA, which helped you.
Oh, that's right, yeah. All the deals over here. For all the
plus it on
the
big billboard near the Gardner.
Yeah.
I'd love to have seen
and,
that.
And this is how we get the pathway to Craig Forrest over at Wagner's studio on a Sunday morning.
You know, we did have a big billboard in the Gardner, of course. It was our good friend Jimmy Brennan, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Jimmy.
That used
to
scare me.
I was downtown. Everything was going really well. Looking down the Gardner, he had him... volleying a ball.
Like it's ever volleyed
a ball. You could see... I don't think so either. Not like that. He must have had a trampoline when he did that. And look at him now.
Yep.
Great opportunity. He's good. He's one of the only Canadians with a pro license.
I know. It's amazing, actually. Yeah, that story was on the CPL website this past week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Dasso.
Good for him.
Dasso as well. Yeah. He can't get a... If he was trying to look for a local club, he would be... Oh, overqualified.
How close are you, Deitch, to getting that?
I'm on my A license still.
And so after that, there's what? UEFA A?
After that, it's a pro license.
After that, yeah?
Yeah.
Are you doing that?
Jimmy done his one in Ireland, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you just have to show up. No. Or is that the Scottish one?
Yeah. I'm on the English one. It's a little bit tougher.
It is.
Are you going to do it, Deej? Is he
the pro license?
Yeah.
Maybe. I'm not too fussed about it. I want to finish this A license first. Obviously, with COVID being in the mix, everything's been put back 6 months, 8 months, because no one's allowed at St. George's. We have to film certain training sessions. Guys have to come out and visit you, and there's just no traveling at the moment.
Hey, if you're a Canadian coach that wanted to get the pro license, how much money would that cost somebody in the end with the travel over to Europe?
Well, it's pretty expensive. So for the pro license, the last, it was around £45,000.
Just for that?
Just for the pro license. £45,000.
How much for the A license? Jesus.
A license is around, in all, 10 grand. England...
Does that include travel for you?
No. It doesn't include travel.
So what if there's this coach in the dark seat weeds of domestic Ontario soccer with this incredible coaching ability and talent, but he can't afford the pro license?
No kidding.
It's like football players.
Yeah, it's tough. There's
Pep
a lot
could be, right now. Pep could be in Mimico on a football field right now.
As I said before, there's a lot of very good coaches here in Canada. Some guys try and find a way of getting to Europe to do their licenses, where it's a little bit cheaper. Europe, I'm talking about either to Belgium or Holland, Spain. But then it's a language barrier as well. And that's not saying the UEFA course is the best. Like, some guys are going to South America to do courses as well.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So the language barrier is key. Also, you obviously have to have contacts or network there that allow you in. It's not that you can just sign up and you're being admitted. You have to go through a process of, you worked at a certain level and you'd like to pursue a different level while getting this license. There's a lot of red tape that goes on, which I think is unfair as well.
If you get all those licenses, if you've got no connections or you haven't played, there's no guarantees of even getting a job.
No, it's very tough.
In fact, you might be seen as overqualified.
Yeah.
You phone up club and they're just like, "Ooh, I don't want any part of this guy. He's
I just spent 100 grand on my license."
Right.
Who are you?
Yeah, you might not want to.
Should have got a trade.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, fellas. That's probably about it right then.
Yeah, that could be it.
Yeah?
Yeah. We're not doing doing the spite. What was the spite?
Oh, the spite.
I
like the spite one.
No, it's good.
Charms and I were talking yesterday on the patio.
What do you mean by it? Tell
well,
me.
Well, it was who did you dislike enough but still liked enough to do something like a bad prank, and you don't know how they would take it, but you
Jimmy
knew
Brennan.
It had to be them because they could have gone one way or the other.
Jimmy again gets
it's
in
Jimmy.
There.
You said Jimmy.
And what would he do?
Because he'd lose his shit, right?
Put a snake
he could lose,
in his shower.
It'd be fun. Yeah, I'd bring us. Yes.
I tell you a classic story, Jimmy. I think it's PG material. So Jimmy used to have this game where he liked pulling people's pants down in public places, and he done me a couple of times, like at the grocery store and in the airport. So I thought, I'm gonna get this guy one day. I'm gonna get it. And Jimmy, unfortunately, never used to wear underwear because he used to feel loose and stuff.
No.
I don't know.
No, he doesn't.
Still doesn't.
So anyway, we're boarding this plane going to an away game for Toronto FC. And me and Jimmy, obviously our second names, he's his B, I'm D, so we always sat pretty close to one another. So we're getting on the plane, and it's a pretty busy plane. We got on late. So I've sat down in my seat, and he's standing up trying to get
his laptop or stuff out of the lockers.
Yeah.
Baggage compartment.
Baggage compartment. So he's standing up there. I'm going, fuck, this is my opportunity. So the air stewardess is walking down. There's someone walking down from this way, and I've just gone, pulled him flat down. And he's like,
but he probably didn't even put his hands down.
No, he didn't. He's standing there like that. Yeah. He turns around, he looks at the air stewardess like that, and he goes, "Did you prick?" Yeah. So he slowly pulled him back up. Yeah. And went, yeah, there you go, Jim.
I wonder how Jimmy's enjoying the bubble.
Oh, he's going to go stir crazy. 48 hours
he'll
in.
He'll be the one sneaking out in the bed sheets.
He'll be swimming across fucking PEI.
That's why Steven mentioned that, bed sheets, because that's what we did in Florida. I'm sure that's why he mentioned
it.
Hotel?
Did you do something fun? Was it worth climbing out with bed sheets?
Was it a prison escape?
We always had a good time. Because Holger wouldn't let us go out.
So you did the bed sheets out. Oh.
So what you do is you throw your clothes that you're going to wear into the hedge, crawl out the back, or go out the front door, but sometimes he wouldn't let you go for a walk even, in your tracksuit, and go do and walk around the side of the building and throw your duds on and jump in a cab.
See, this is why the Canadian national team.
I'm amazed. How did you ever win?
That was during the Gold Cup.
Oh, that's fantastic.
How did you ever win that thing?
Because they did that.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. Yeah.
Nothing to lose, right?
Stay loose. Yeah. Stay loose.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then Dasso came back and he couldn't find his clothes or his tracksuit.
Sure, it wasn't his shampoo and conditioner.
Yeah. He's got great, well,
great hair.
Great hair, yeah.
No, it's flowing. He's got flowing locks for sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
He had a nose job. Do you know that?
Nose job?
Yeah.
When?
Oh, years ago.
Oh, years ago.
If you played in Scotland, you'd need a nose job as well.
Yeah.
Elbows a couple of times. We should get Dazza on the show.
Yeah,
he'd be
should have taken more off.
Should have.
Even when he came out, he was like, even when he came out, he was like looking, going, "What the? Like, it's still large." And the doctor's like, "I took enough out to fill a dike." That his wife had laser surgery and she never could see him, right?
Yeah, so that was it. It was
until the surgery.
No, seriously, she couldn't. She goes, "I couldn't see like nothing. I was like brutal, like
until the surgery." And then what? What was the first impressions?
Well, she didn't really say.
Jeez, Craig's doing a lot of sharing about other people's lives.
well, they're still together.
Yeah, well, not because of you.
But did they? What was the nose job? After her, she got her sight back, so she then said, "You get right back into that hospital."
No, huh? She's too lovely to say anything bad about Dasso. She'll just suck it up.
A road here.
She'll just suck it up.
Let's just crush Craig's ex-teammates.
That's
and
right.
Good friends
yeah,
here.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, who else are we going to crush?
We'll think about that for have another,
next
another
week.
Spite
next
segment
week.
Next week.
Yeah, we'll get spite number two.
So apparently Danny's already spited Jimmy.
Yeah, that's good. I liked it.
Yeah, Jimmy's spited many.
Yes.
We'll get Jimmy on the maybe. Let's get Jimmy like about 2 weeks from now when he's 2 weeks into the bubble and he's going nuts. He's got a damn good team, mind you, this year. So he maybe he should be pretty happy.
We'll see.
Yeah. All right, everyone.
Maybe next week.
Next week, yeah. We could do that.
Yeah.
We'll reach out.
Yep. He's got lots of time on his hands.
Yeah, well, yeah. All right. My thanks to Stephen Hart, one of our favorites here.
He is.
Great chat there.
Classy guy.
Real classy guy. And really happy that he's back in Canadian soccer where he belongs. All right, JC, Wonga, thank you very much. Beach, Craig, thank you. Hope you enjoyed that. Speak to you next week.
What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening and back to the show. Show.